Hello, and welcome to your A-Level Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most important and interconnected topics in the entire A-Level specification, energy transfers in and between organisms. Whether you're sitting AQA, OCR, or at Excel, this topic is absolutely central to your exam. And by the end of this episode, you'll have a rock-solid understanding of everything from ATP synthesis to ecological efficiency. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. This topic sits at the heart of A-level biology because energy is quite literally the currency of life. Every single process in every living organism, from a bacterium dividing to a blue whale swimming, requires energy. And that energy ultimately comes from one source, the sun. Understanding how that solar energy is captured, transformed, transferred, and ultimately lost as heat is what this entire topic is about. It connects photosynthesis, respiration, ecology, and even human agriculture, all into one beautiful, unified story. Let's begin with the big picture. Energy enters ecosystems through photosynthesis. Green plants, algae, and some bacteria are the producers. They capture light energy and convert it into chemical energy stored in organic molecules like glucose. This chemical energy then flows through the ecosystem as organisms eat one another, passing from producers to primary consumers, then to secondary consumers, and so on up the food chain. At every step, energy is lost, mainly as heat through respiration, which is why food chains rarely have more than 4 or 5 trophic levels. Eventually, decomposers break down dead organic matter, releasing the remaining energy. And throughout all of this, ATP is the universal energy currency that actually does the work inside cells. Now let's go deeper into each of these processes, starting with photosynthesis. Photosynthesis happens in 2 stages inside the chloroplast. The first stage is the light-dependent reactions, which occur on the thylakoid membranes, those stacked disc-like structures inside the chloroplast. When light hits a chlorophyll molecule in photosystem 2, it excites electrons to a higher energy level. These excited electrons are then passed along an electron transport chain, releasing energy that is used to pump hydrogen ions across the thylakoid membrane, creating a concentration gradient. These hydrogen ions then flow back through ATP synthase, an enzyme embedded in the membrane, and this flow drives the synthesis of ATP from ADP, an inorganic phosphate. This process is called photophosphorylation. Meanwhile, water molecules are split by photolysis, using light energy to replace the electrons lost from photosystem 2. This releases oxygen as a byproduct, which is the oxygen we breathe. The electrons eventually reach photosystem 1, where they're re-energized by light and used to reduce NADP to NADPH. So from the light-dependent reactions, we get ATP, NADPH, and oxygen. These products, ATP and NADPH, are then used in the second stage, the light-independent reactions, also called the Calvin cycle, which take place in the stroma of the chloroplast. Here, carbon dioxide from the atmosphere is fixed. That means it's combined with a 5-carbon compound called ribulose bisphosphate, or RuBP, by an enzyme called Rubisco. This produces an unstable 6-carbon compound that immediately splits into 2 molecules of a 3-carbon compound called glycerate 3-phosphate, or GP. GP is then reduced using ATP and NADPH from the light-dependent reactions to form glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate, or G3P. Some G3P molecules are used to make glucose and other organic compounds, while most are used to regenerate RuBP using more ATP. The cycle then continues. A key point for examiners, the Calvin cycle does not directly require light, but it does require the ATP and NADPH produced by the light-dependent reactions, so it cannot run in the dark for long. Now let's move on to respiration. Specifically, aerobic respiration, which is how organisms release the energy stored in glucose. Aerobic respiration occurs in 4 stages. Stage 1 is glycolysis, which happens in the cytoplasm. Glucose, a 6-carbon molecule, is phosphorylated using 2 ATP molecules, then split into 2 molecules of pyruvate, each with 3 carbons. This produces a net gain of 2 ATP and 2 molecules of NADH. No oxygen is required for glycolysis. Stage 2 is the link reaction, which occurs in the mitochondrial matrix. Each pyruvate molecule is decarboxylated, meaning a carbon dioxide molecule is removed, and the remaining 2-carbon fragment combines with coenzyme A to form acetyl coenzyme A, or acetyl coenzyme A, or acetyl CoA. NAD is reduced to NADH in this process. Since there are 2 pyruvate molecules per glucose, this happens twice. Stage 3 is the Krebs cycle, also in the mitochondrial matrix. Acetyl-CoA combines with a 4-carbon compound called oxaloacetate to form the 6-carbon citrate. Through a series of reactions, carbon dioxide is released, and the coenzymes NAD and FAD are reduced to NADH and FADH2. A small amount of ATP is also produced directly, 2 ATP per glucose molecule. The 4-carbon oxaloacetate is regenerated to accept another acetyl-CoA, and the cycle continues. Stage 4 is oxidative phosphorylation, which occurs on the inner mitochondrial membrane. The NADH and FADH2 produced in the previous stages donate their electrons to the electron transport chain, a series of protein complexes embedded in the membrane. As electrons pass along the chain, energy is released and used to pump hydrogen ions from the matrix into the inner membrane space, creating a steep concentration gradient. These hydrogen ions flow back through ATP synthase, driving the synthesis of ATP. This is called chemiosmosis. At the end of the electron transport chain, electrons combine with oxygen and hydrogen ions to form water. Oxygen is therefore the final electron acceptor. This stage produces approximately 26 to 28 ATP molecules per glucose, making it by far the most productive stage. The total ATP yield from aerobic respiration of one glucose molecule is approximately 30 to 32 ATP. It's also worth knowing about anaerobic respiration, which occurs when oxygen is unavailable. In animals and some bacteria, pyruvate is converted to lactate, regenerating NAD so glycolysis can continue. In yeast and plants, pyruvate is converted to ethanol and carbon dioxide. Anaerobic respiration only produces 2 ATP per glucose, much less efficient than aerobic respiration. Now let's talk about energy transfer between organisms, the ecological side of this topic. Gross primary production, or GPP, is the total amount of energy fixed by producers through photosynthesis per unit area per unit time. However, plants use some of this energy for their own respiration. The energy remaining after respiration is called net primary production, or NPP. The formula is NPP equals GPP minus R, where R is the energy used in respiration. NPP represents the energy available to primary consumers, the herbivores. As energy passes from one trophic level to the next, a significant proportion is lost. On average, only about 10% of the energy at one trophic level is transferred to the next. The other 90% is lost in several ways. A large proportion is lost as heat through respiration, some is lost in feces and urine, as not all consumed material is digested and absorbed. Some is lost in dead organic matter that passes to decomposers rather than the next trophic level, and in warm-blooded animals, a significant amount of energy is used to maintain body temperature. The efficiency of energy transfer can be calculated using the formula. Efficiency equals the energy available at the next trophic level, divided by the energy available at the previous trophic level, multiplied by 100 to give a percentage. This low efficiency has important implications for agriculture. Eating plant crops directly is far more energy efficient than feeding crops to livestock and then eating the livestock. This is why plant-based diets can support larger human populations from the same area of land. Now, let me give you the key exam tips and common mistakes that cost students marks. First, be precise with terminology. Examiners will not award marks for vague answers. Don't say energy is made, energy is transferred or converted. Don't say glucose is broken down to release energy. Say glucose is oxidized during respiration, releasing energy that is used to synthesize ATP. The distinction matters. Second, when answering questions about the light-dependent reactions, many candidates confuse where ATP is synthesized. ATP synthase is on the thylakoid membrane in photosynthesis, not the inner mitochondrial membrane. That's respiration. Keep these two processes clearly separated in your mind. Third, a very common error is stating that the Calvin cycle doesn't need light. While it's true that light is not directly required, the cycle depends entirely on the ATP and NADPH produced by the light-dependent reactions. If asked to explain why the Calvin cycle slows down in the dark, you must explain this dependency, not simply say, it doesn't need light. Fourth, when calculating energy transfer efficiency, always show you're working. Examiners award marks for the method even if your final answer is slightly off. Write out the formula, substitute the values, and state the units. Fifth, for questions about NPP and GPP, remember the formula and be ready to rearrange it. If given NPP and R, you can calculate GPP. If given GPP and R, calculate NPP. These are common two-mark calculation questions. Sixth, When explaining why food chains are short, don't just say, energy is lost. You must explain how it is lost, through respiration, as heat, in feces, in urine, and in dead organic matter. Each mechanism can earn a separate mark. Now it's time for our quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the name of the enzyme that fixes carbon dioxide in the Calvin cycle? The answer is Rubisco, ribulose 1,5-bisphosphate carboxylase/oxygenase. Question 2. Where in the chloroplast do the light-independent reactions take place? In the stroma. Question 3. What is the final electron acceptor in the electron transport chain of aerobic respiration? Oxygen. Question 4. What is the formula for calculating net primary production? NPP equals GPP minus R. Question 5. Approximately what percentage of energy is transferred between trophic levels? Approximately 10%. Question 6. Name the three products of the light-dependent reactions, ATP, NADPH, and oxygen. Question 7. In which stage of respiration is the most ATP produced? Oxidative phosphorylation. How did you do? If you got all 7, you're in excellent shape. If you missed a few, go back and review those specific sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the most important points to take into your exam. 1. Energy enters ecosystems through photosynthesis, where light energy is converted to chemical energy stored in organic molecules. 2. The light-dependent reactions produce ATP, NADPH, and oxygen. They occur on the thylakoid membrane. ATP is synthesized via chemiosmosis through ATP synthase. 3. The Calvin cycle fixes CO2 using Rubisco, producing GP, which is reduced to G3P using ATP and NADPH. RubyP is regenerated. 4. Aerobic respiration has 4 stages. Glycolysis in the cytoplasm, then the Link reaction, Krebs cycle, and oxidative phosphorylation all in or on the mitochondria. Total yield is approximately 30 to 32 ATP. 5. GPP minus respiration equals NPP. NPP is the energy available to the next trophic level. 6. Approximately 10% of energy is transferred between trophic levels. The rest is lost as heat, in waste products, and to decomposers. 7. Shorter food chains and plant-based diets are more energy efficient because there are fewer trophic level transfers and therefore less energy is lost. That's everything for today's episode. I hope this has given you a clear, confident understanding of energy transfers in and between organisms. Remember, this topic rewards students who can explain processes precisely and link concepts across the specification. Practice writing exam answers using command words like explain, describe, and calculate, and always show you're working for any calculations. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this!